I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Kerry Emanuel, Professor of Atmospheric Science at MIT. And we'll start out part two talking about the annual hurricane forecast. Every year we hear about the long range, you might say, hurricane forecast. Is that something that's improved a lot in recent years?
Not really. There is some sort of good news and bad news. We've done some work to show that if you could predict the large scale features of the weather the next summer, if you could say, for example, whether there'll be an El Nino or not, or what the flow over the Caribbean and tropical Atlantic will be on a large scale, then you could predict up to 65% of the variability of hurricanes from one year to the next. There'll always be a random component. Unfortunately, that's a big if. We don't actually, in practice, do a very good job predicting the large-scale conditions. And in fact, the skill of those seasonal forecasts is not great. It's better than a guess. In other words, there is some skill, but it's not great. It's not really improving. And my big objection to the seasonal forecasts is that they, in fact, tell you something, if, to the extent they're successful at all, they tell you something that very few people really care about, the number of hurricanes next summer in the hurricane. Who cares? Most of them stay at sea. They don't bother anybody. Most of them are weak. They don't bother anybody. What you care about are high-intensity landfalls, and nobody can predict those a year in advance, period.
In the short range, is the path of the hurricane easier to predict than its intensity?
Yes. So there has been steady and substantial improvement in the ability to forecast where a particular storm that exists now will go over the next few days. There's no question about that. In fact, the three-day forecast today are about as accurate as the one-day forecast were 25 years ago. So there's no question that there's been an improvement in track forecasts. On the other hand, there's been no improvement in the skill of predicting how strong the storm will be in a few days' time. We just can't seem to do that very well.
Is there a huge obstacle that's keeping that kind of prediction from being reality?
Well, there's a theoretical obstacle and a practical one. The theoretical one, which if it really exists, is going to be impenetrable, is the fundamental predictability of hurricane intensity. And by that we mean that, you know, hurricanes exhibit what we call chaotic variability, just like the weather itself. And there are fundamental limits on how far in advance you can predict the intensity. I mean, fundamental limits, just like there are fundamental limits on weather forecasting. We'll never be able to make a good weather forecast beyond 2 weeks. Of course, as you know, we're not even close to 2 weeks today, but theoretically, we can't go beyond 2 weeks. Theoretically, it may prove to be the case, although we don't know that now, that we can't predict intensity beyond a day or two. We just don't know. We're doing predictability studies to try to understand that. Now, on top of that, there are practical problems that have mostly to do with how much computer power we can today afford to throw at hurricane forecasting. It takes a lot more computer power to forecast hurricane intensity than hurricane track. For various technical reasons, you just need bigger machines that grind numbers faster. The other practical limitation is an observing one. To forecast anything at all, you have to know what it's doing now. If you don't know what it's doing now, you can't forecast it. We're getting better in the Atlantic at delineating the hurricane itself in the atmosphere, mostly with reconnaissance aircraft observations. So we still rely heavily on those. I might point out that the Atlantic, which has only 11% of the world's hurricanes, is the only place where we fly airplanes into hurricanes. The rest of the world is unsurveyed that way. But in spite of the fact we're doing all right in the Atlantic for the atmosphere, on the ocean side is another problem. To forecast hurricane intensity, you actually have to know what the temperature of the ocean is, not just at the surface, where you can measure it easily, but down to several hundred meters. And that's because of the effect of hurricanes churning up water, and that affects their own intensity, among other things. And in practice, we don't know what the temperature of the ocean is below the surface very well at all. It's a very tough thing to measure, and that may also be a big limitation on our ability to make forecasts.
Okay, that's very interesting. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I think that, you know, it's an important problem, hurricanes. They're conceivably important in the world in controlling climate. to the extent that they do have an influence in climate, it's a bit scary because they're not in today's global climate model. They try to produce hurricanes, but they just don't have enough resolution to pick them up. So they're sort of crude facsimiles of hurricanes, and they certainly wouldn't have the effect back on the climate that we think real storms have. So we better get a handle on this. If all we want to do is to make better climate predictions, that would be reason enough. The thing I'd like to add is that we in the field, if you ask us, why aren't you making more rapid progress, almost everybody, and maybe everybody would say, because we don't have enough good young people coming into this field. We need people coming out of undergraduate institutions who are highly trained in physics and math. We don't even need them to be trained in meteorology. That helps, but it's the physics and math that is really what we were looking for, really great physics and math students to come in. It's a highly mathematical subject, and the flow of talent into our field is and has been for years a trickle. So my message is, if you're interested in math and you think you might be interested in weather, it's a great combo. Get an undergraduate degree in physics or math, and then go to graduate school in atmospheric science or oceanography.
So is it case because there's more interest now in the climate? Have you noticed more students, or do you think more will be coming?
Well, there are a lot of students streaming into the side of climate science which deals with economic and social and political aspects of climate change. There's an overwhelming flow of students from liberal arts institutions into those fields. We've seen no real increase in the flow of students. This is nationwide, I might add, the flow of students into what we call the hard physics science side of the climate problem, the climate physics and math and chemistry problems. We just don't see a very large flow of talent into this, and that's what's holding us back. But that's also an opportunity. I mean, to the right kind of student, this is a wonderful field filled with intellectual challenges. It would be a mistake to think of this as just a practical problem. By God, we've got to forecast climate in 100 years. No, that's not it. There's a rich landscape of really great intellectually challenging science problems. So it's a wonderful field to be in, and I'd just like to see more young people get interested in that.
Well, Kerry, thanks very much. That's Kerry Emanuel, who's a professor of atmospheric science at MIT. Kerry, thanks.
You're quite welcome.